Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me on our conference call today. I hope everyone's doing well, physically and mentally, during these continued times of distancing socially. I'm going to spend most of our time today discussing the current market environment, some current economic data, along with some economic projections, and where I believe we're going to be headed from here. During or after the call, if anyone has any questions for me or would like to discuss anything in general, please feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call once the call is over. I'm going to go ahead and start off with some positive news. This year, we have hit all-time highs on the S&P 500 three different times. First time was back on February 19th. The S&P reached a high point in the bull market that began March 9th, 2009. The high was 3,386.15. But as we all know, from the February high, the pandemic threw us into a bear market, and the S&P 500 declined 35.21% to reach our March bottom. But luckily, record stimulus and a swift recovery brought the S&P 500 to our second high, which was on August 18th. That day, the S&P closed at a record high of 3,389.78, and all of this was amid the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The third high we reached was on September 2nd. The S&P 500 closed at a record high of 3,580.84. Also, intraday, there was a high of 3,588. The S&P closed Friday at 3,557.54. This is only 23.3 points away from setting a fourth all-time high this year. And this morning, we had surpassed the closing high, but when I looked a second ago, we were just a little bit behind. So there's a chance here in the next couple days, if we have some up days, that we might knock out a fourth high. But at this point, we still do feel that forward returns are going to be muted. And don't be surprised if we have a temporary sell-off and give back somewhere between 5 and 10% over the short term. This is something I'll discuss a little bit more about later on in the call. Now I'm going to dive into a little bit of economic data. Unemployment in October fell to 6.9% from 7.9% in September. The number of unemployed persons fell 1.5 million to 11.1 million unemployed. Both of these measures have declined six consecutive months, but we're still nearly twice the level we were back in February before the pandemic. Back in February, the unemployment rate was 3.5%, and the number of unemployed persons was 5.8 million. We're starting to see new restrictions being imposed across the U.S. due to the recent spike in COVID-19 cases. This might lead to a short-term spike in unemployment. I do believe if there is an increase, it'll be short-lived, and the unemployment rate will start to slowly work its way back down to historical levels. As the economy continues to be restarted and the economy gathers steam, the jobs will come back, and the unemployment rate's going to slowly return to our normal historical levels and possibly a little bit below. Normal historical levels are right around 6%. I think at the rate that we're going now, we're probably going to hit somewhere in the 4 to 5% range, but I don't know. It's going to take a while to get back to those February unemployment rates, which were close to all-time lows at that 3.5%. GDP, or gross domestic product, increased 33.1% for the third quarter. This is after a decline in the second quarter of 31.4%. Currently, expectations for the fourth quarter are modest, or for a modest increase of around 2 to 3%. Although this estimate has been revised down, back in October, expectations were around a 6 or 7% increase for the fourth quarter. This downward revision is mainly because of the increase in COVID-19 cases and the new restrictions that are being imposed across the country, which will slow economic growth for the short term. We do expect growth to bounce back and return to normal sometime next year, probably, you know, by mid-2021. And historical levels of GDP are right around 3%. A recession is technically two consecutive quarters of GDP. We did have a recession with our negative growth in the first and the second quarter of this year. But it didn't feel like the same like recessions in the past, since it was mainly self-inflicted. We also received massive monetary and fiscal stimulus. But we've bounced back relatively quickly. There still is a chance out there of a double dip recession. This would happen if newly imposed restrictions were to last too long, or if the virus was unable to be contained. I think the chances of a double dip recession are low at this juncture, but they are starting to increase. Once the economy resumes full operations and the fear of contracting the virus subsides, the economy will work its way back to historical growth rates of around 3%. Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, which is an indicator we use to get a read on the manufacturing industry, and it correlates to the overall economy. The October manufacturing PMI registered 59.3%. It was up 3.9% from the September reading of 55.4%, and the highest reading since September 2018, where PMI came in at 59.3%. This figure indicates expansion in the overall economy for the sixth consecutive month after we had a contraction in April. Contraction in April ended a period of 131 consecutive months of growth. Manufacturing performed well for the third straight month, with demand, consumption, and inputs registering growth, indicative of a normal expansion cycle. While certain industry sectors are experiencing difficulties that are going to continue for the near term, the overall manufacturing community continues to exceed expectations. A manufacturing PMI above 42.8% over a period of time generally indicates an expansion in the overall economy. The past relationship between the manufacturing PMI and the overall economy indicates that a manufacturing PMI of 59.3% corresponds to a 4.8% increase in gross domestic product on an annualized basis. Currently in Europe, expectations are that PMI for them is going to drop from approximately 50 to approximately 45 due to their new lockdowns and restrictions being imposed. If we experience similar restrictions, we could also see a temporary contraction in our PMI until restrictions are lifted and the economy goes back to normal. Retail sales. Retail sales in October were up 0.3% from September and 8.5% from this time last year. Non-store retailers were up 29.1% from October 2019, while building material, garden equipment, and supplies dealers were up 19.5% from this time last year. Although we experienced just a modest increase in September, although we experienced a modest increase in retail sales in October compared to September, we are heading into the holiday season when we normally see a seasonal spike in sales. We take a look at real estate. Real estate market continues to be strong, although inventories are still low. The S&P CoreLogic Case-Shiller Home Price Index reported a 5.7% annual gain in August, up from 4.8% in the previous month. Phoenix, Seattle, and San Diego reported the highest year-over-year gains in August. Phoenix led the way with a 9.9% year-over-year increase, followed by Seattle with an 8.5% increase. In San Diego, with a 7.6% increase. All cities reported higher price increases in the year ending August 2020 versus the year ending July 2020. Sales of existing single family homes in the range of 250,000 to 500,000 rose 37.6% from October 2019 to October 2020. And at the same time, inventory decreased by 14%. Currently, there's about 2.4 months of inventory available on the market. And if we compare this to October 2019, there were 3.9 months of inventory. So inventory is lower now than it was this time last year. Inflation, annual inflation rate in the U.S. rose to 1.2% in October, decreasing 0.2%. from the 1.4% that we posted in September. The historical average of inflation is right around 3%. What we're seeing is that the long-standing structural forces that have kept inflation low over the last 10 years still remain intact. We also have the virus-related disinflationary shock that should help keep inflation expectations low for the near term. But in the medium to long term, we could see an increase based on the amount of stimulus that we've had injected into our system. We get over onto the stock market now. We're still seeing growth stocks outperform value stocks. We're also seeing large cap stocks outperform small cap stocks. A large cap value so far year to date is down right around 2.79%. While large cap growth stocks are up 31.09%. Small cap value stocks are down around 2.28%, while small cap growth stocks are up around 22.64%. If we take a look at the different sectors and break down and see where those returns have been coming from, our three best outperforming sectors are technology, consumer discretionary, and communication services. Technology so far year to date is up 32.36%. Consumer discretionary is following behind at 23.68%. And communication services is up right around 19.94%. The three laggards so far this year are real estate, financials, and energy. So far year to date, real estate's down 2.37%. Financials are down 9.82%, and energy is down right around 37.09%. One thing we are seeing here over the last month or so is that value, like we're starting to see a little bit of a rotation where value stocks have started to outperform growth stocks, whereas financials over the last month are up around 9.5%, and energy's up just a little bit under 20%. And what we're seeing is that the economy is starting to kind of open back up. We're starting to have positive news on the vaccine front, which leads to these value stocks outperformance. So once the economy is back and everything is going full capacity, these value stocks are going to start to finally be able to perform a little bit. Although I still think it might be a little premature for these value stocks to totally rotate and be in favor, just because, you know, we don't know how long the virus is going to be hanging around and, you know, how much it's going to restrict economic growth. And we also don't know what's going to happen with all these technologies and efficiencies that have been adopted. So we're not sure, are we going to go back to the old normal, or is there going to be a new normal? Most likely there's going to be some balance of a little bit of both. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about the international markets. So U.S. stock market has continued to outperform its international peers. The U.S. stock market year to date is up around 13.31%, while Asia Pacific is up around 12.94%. Emerging markets are up around 10.5%. Europe is basically flat, down just around 0.26%. And Latin America is down 24.21%. And Latin America has exposure to energy and oil, and that's a lot of where their returns are coming from. Here's a quick recap of kind of where we've been this year. So from the peak on February 19th through the low on Monday, March 23rd, the S&P fell from a little under 3,400 to a little under 2,200. This is around a 1,200 point drop, which equates to around a drawdown of around 35%. Through Friday, we were at 3,557.54, regaining 1,363.54 points, which is the equivalent of 62.15% from those lows that we saw back in March. And as we mentioned earlier, we've set new highs three times this year so far. From the peak on February 12th through the low on Monday, March 23rd, the Dow fell from almost 30,000 to a little over 18,000. This is a drop of 11,000 points, or a 38% drawdown. Through yesterday, the Dow was at 29,270.09. We've regained right around 11,000 points, or the equivalent of 60.5% from those lows that we saw in March. And we're still approximately around 1% from the highs that we reached on February 12th. And so we're not technically in a bear market anymore. And the bear market is characterized by a 20% decline from a high. Bear market technically ended when the S&P 500 eclipsed its high that was set earlier this year on February 19th. Although the Dow is still in a bear market, it will exit bear market territory when it gets above the highs set in February, which will probably happen before the end of the year, and look like we're not too far from that today. The fixed income market, the bond market has continued to be stable after all the liquidity and stimulus that the Fed provided. We saw a lot of dislocations and price swings back in March. They've all since subsided. And there's plenty of liquidity now. The Fed is still standing by and ready to do whatever it takes. And also, there's still plenty of liquidity even after some of these emergency lending programs expire at the end of this year. The 10-year Treasury rate currently is at 0.83%. 1 year ago, same time, it was 1.73%. The 2-year Treasury is right at 0.16%. And this time a year ago, it was a little over 1.5%. The 1 month Treasury is at 0.09%. 1 year ago was also a little above 1.5%. If we look at high grade corporate bonds, they're currently yielding a little over 1.5%. This time last year, they were yielding 2.5%. And the effective funds rate, which is the overnight lending rate, it's currently around 0.08%. The target rate is somewhere between 0 and 0.25%. This time 1 year ago, it was 1.55%. 30-year mortgage rate, the latest on 11/12 was 2.84%. 1 year ago, the rate was 3.69%. And now just to sum it all up, hopefully we're all safe and continue to be safe. This year has been a year for the record books. We had a global pandemic, a presidential election, the end of one of the longest bull markets in history, one of the shortest bear markets in history for the S&P 500, and a new bull market for the S&P 500. That's a lot to pack into 1 year, and I could have done that without a few of those events. But with all the government stimulus that we've received so far, and especially the Fed having stepped in and promised to do whatever it takes, we've seen the markets calm down and recover. This is partially why the bear market was so short. We'll probably receive another round of fiscal stimulus, but probably not till after the first of the year. We're continuing to see positive developments on the vaccine front. It currently looks like we might have a vaccine that will be able to be distributed by the first quarter next year. Since the lows in March, markets bounced back fast, mainly due to that massive stimulus received, optimism of a vaccine, and the slow reopening of the economy. We've recently set all-time highs, and we might just even set higher highs before the end of the year. Given the fact that we've had a massive rally from the lows, valuations are starting to get stretched again, and we also currently have a slightly contested election, although the market doesn't seem to care. We also continue to have tensions with China. They're still there. I believe we're going to have increased volatility with a good chance of a 5% or even a correction, a 10% drawdown sometime between the end of the year and the end of the first quarter. But it's okay because, you know, this is natural and it's not a bad thing. We're currently back at zero interest rates. Low interest rates allow valuations of companies to run higher than in moderate to higher interest rate scenarios. We're beginning to see a return of earnings growth. Low interest rates and increasing earnings growth, they should allow the stock market to continue its recovery and upward trend. I want to thank everyone who took the time to listen to our conference call. We thank you for your continued trust and confidence in our firm. I hope everyone has a happy Thanksgiving, and please give us a call. Shoot us an email if you have any questions or if you ever need anything. Thanks, and have a great day.